in Isaiah chapter 66. Right at the end of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66. Beginning in verse 12. This is what the Lord says. I will give Jerusalem a river of peace and prosperity. The wealth of the nations will flow to her. Her children will be nursed at her breasts, carried in her arms and held on her lap. I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her children. When you see these things, your heart will rejoice. You will flourish like the grass. Everyone will see the Lord's hand of blessing on his servants and his anger against his enemies. See, the Lord is coming with fire, and his swift chariots roar like a whirlwind. He will bring punishment with the fury of his anger and the flaming fire of his hot rebuke. The Lord will punish the world by fire and by his sword. He will judge the earth, and many will be killed by him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. It's the close of a very powerful, important book of the Bible. God is telling a group of people who have been through hardship and who will go through hardship that there is a future day coming that's going to be glorious for them. Wonderful things will happen. But along with the wonderful things for those who belong to the Lord is a stern warning that judgment is part of the picture. Those who are God's people, devoted to Him, are going to experience blessing. Those who are God's enemies, who refuse His law, who refuse to bow, will be forced to bow. Every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It is not up for a vote. It is not something where if enough people get on Jesus' side, we're going to win this thing. Jesus Christ is Lord. Like it or not, believe it or not, it's still true. Jesus Christ is Lord. And those who are His are going to be greatly blessed and filled with joy and peace as they see His rule established in the earth. And those who hate Him, those who refuse to believe, those who seek to rebel, will experience fire. The Lord will punish the world by fire, and by His word, He will judge the earth, and many will be killed by Him. We recently studied the book of Hebrews, and you'll recall it concludes by saying that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and so we need to worship God with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, we read that a third of the earth was set on fire. A third of the trees were burned, and all the green grass was burned. This was just the beginning of the judgment. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we read that the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire. There is a fire coming, the fire of God's judgment. I'm not talking about the sad vandalism that is happening in our cities here in America as I preach this. That's not what I'm talking about. That is sad indeed. But folks, that is nothing compared to what's coming. The fact of the matter is, our God has promised to judge the world with fire. And when that happens, there will be no place to run. This past weekend, just a couple of days ago, the neighbors next door to the little rental cabin that my wife and I own here in the valley, he was out doing some yard work. He tried to burn up some limbs that he'd cut off of trees near his deck. And as he was building that fire, it got out of control and it started the deck on fire, and that started the house on fire. And within a matter of a few minutes, his entire house was engulfed in flame. He and his wife got out, but they didn't even have time to get their cell phones. They didn't have time to get one of their pets, and the house was gone. It was consumed. And I stood in the yard next door talking with him as he shared how this house was his dream. This was what he had worked on for more than 20 years. He said, it's like a guy with a train set. You always want to do a little more and add a little more and make it a little bigger. And he said, it's all gone. How can this happen? Well, let me tell you, it can happen fast. It can happen really fast. Some years ago, we got a telephone call from a neighbor here in the valley. She was crying on the phone. She woke us. It was early in the morning. And she said, Jim, wake up the family and get out of the house. There's a fire headed your way. And I thought she seemed a little irrational and hysterical until I looked out the window. And she was exactly right. There was a wall of flame moving across the valley toward us. Some construction workers, some subcontractors, had left a fire still burning at a construction site, and it got totally out of control and set the mountain ablaze. And there were multiple homes destroyed in that fire. And it was headed toward us. And when I saw that fire, and not only woke my wife, but I woke my kids, and we took the photo albums and the insurance papers and a few items of clothing, not very much, I assure you, put it in laundry baskets in the back of our SUV, and got ready to leave. That was what we took. I want to ask you this morning, what would you take? If the fire was coming, what would you take? And the reason I ask that is because the fire is coming. You may not live to see the return of Jesus Christ, but when you die, what will you face? And what are you hoping to take with you? It was, in one sense, a good feeling to realize that with our family in the vehicle, we had everything we really valued. It was a good feeling to know that all the stuff in the house, antiques that we've been blessed with over the years, things that have been in the family for such a long time, all that, if it was gone, if we lost the photo albums, if all of it was gone, we're still okay. Years ago, when we were living in Mississippi, a neighbor found that their home was on fire, and they got out, and it burned up. And he said, if I had come home and found my home destroyed, I would have said that I lost everything. But because I was in there and we got out, I realize All of that is replaceable. All of that is going to burn anyway. My family got out. That's what mattered. About 4 weeks ago, I got a telephone call from a dear friend in Atlanta, Georgia. I had the joy of praying with him to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior years ago. And his life was changed. He called just about 4 weeks ago to tell me, "Jim, I need you to bury me." And I said, what's happening? He said, "Well, I just had my latest scan, and the doctors say I have about 4 weeks to live." Yesterday morning, 8 a.m., he stepped into glory. Now, I'm scheduled to do his service this week in Atlanta. You know what he cared about? He actually was a guy who had a train set. It was a big, amazing, complex, impressive man's toy. We didn't say anything about trains when we talked. He wasn't concerned about what's going to happen to his train set. He wasn't concerned about what's going to happen to his cameras. The man was a brilliant photographer. He won awards for his photography. But we didn't talk about photographs or cameras. We talked about his family. Because his one concern that he wanted me to pray for is that one of his children who hasn't trusted the Lord would come to faith. And that her grandchildren, or that her children, his grandchildren, would come to know the Lord. That's what matters. That's what matters. It's not the things hanging in our closet. It's not what's parked in our garage. It's not any of the things that this world holds dear. My neighbor made the comment concerning the house on fire. That was my life. Person who lost his business to one of the riots in our country was quoted in the press as saying, "My life is gone." Let me tell you something. If your life is wrapped up in a house, if your life is wrapped up in a business, if your life is wrapped up in your health, you're going to lose it. Sooner or later, you will lose it. And it can happen in an instant. But if your life is hidden in Christ, if you find your identity in Him, if you know Him as your Lord and Savior, then whatever comes, your life is eternal. Cannot be taken from you. In 1 Corinthians 3:13 and Zechariah 13:9, God talks about the way that fire is going to test and refine a type of judgment that we have to go through, like a refiner's fire. What comes to the surface when a precious metal like gold or silver is refined, what comes to the surface is the impurities. And those things have to be brought to the surface so that they can be taken away. But the goal in such a fire is not to destroy. It's to refine. It's to make it better, purer, more beautiful. And God sometimes takes us through fiery trials, but not to destroy us. Only instead to cleanse, only for our good. When Daniel's three friends were thrown into the fiery furnace by that brutal king, Nebuchadnezzar, only one thing burned. Their clothes didn't burn. Their hair and beards didn't burn. Only one thing burned. It was the ropes that bound them. And you and I may go through fiery trials in order to set us free from what has bound us. You may look at it as torture, but God will use it for the good of those who are His. Do not fear what they fear. Trust in the Lord. Right here in the valley, 2016, there was a fire here and in Gatlinburg and into the park that made news around the world. People from other countries contacted me to see if we were okay, because it was a horrible, devastating fire. But it has been amazing to watch as life has come back beautifully, powerfully, with soil that's been enriched as a result of the fire, and beautiful evidences of God's power invested in creation is bringing beauty where there was ashes. I don't know what some of you who are listening to this are facing in your own life. I don't know the trials and tribulations that everybody goes through. But I do know this: if your trust is in God, you are secure. Regardless of what you're feeling, regardless of what you're seeing, you can know that Jesus will not let you go. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall never die. The one who dies shall still live, because Jesus has conquered death." And so we don't have to be afraid. Does that mean we have to enjoy every minute of it? No. Does it mean we have to say, "This is fun, it doesn't hurt at all"? No. We're not asked to lie. We're told not to lie. We can be honest and cry out and say, with those who were martyred, who speak from under the throne of God, "How long, O Lord?" And yet the fact of the matter is, the only reason Jesus hasn't returned yet is He's giving more time for people to repent. We too were once His enemies. We too were hostile toward the truth of God. And God, in His mercy, drew us to Himself. And now we are His forever. And the world cannot destroy the kingdom of God. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So, I ask you again, if the fire was coming, what would you want to save? My prayer, my longing, is that you would be saved. That you would trust in Jesus. That you would receive eternal life from Him. He died and rose again so that you could live forever. As part of His family, as my brother, my sister, together in the Father's house. Don't delay. Don't refuse. Trust in Jesus, because the fire is coming. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before You with thanksgiving. We are grateful that You love us and that You've proved it. I pray, Lord God, that when we see fires burn and we see how quickly things can change and all kinds of things can be lost and destroyed, Lord, let it cause us to get on our face before You and consider again what really matters and what really endures. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You, O Lord, are a consuming fire. May we trust in you and run to you for safety. As surely as my new heavens and earth will remain, says the Lord, so you will always be my people. Thank you, Lord, that you promise those who trust in you that your kingdom, of which we are a part, will endure forever. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.